right, and we're back. I'm your host, Mike. This is the Tap Room Podcast. This is episode 46. Pretty sure it's 46. But it's New Year's, so this will be releasing on New Year's. Right now it's the 30th. I have my brother-in-law, Josh, on with me. I'm up here in Tulare visiting. How's it going, brother?
What's up, man? Thank you for inviting me again.
Oh, you got it. We got some good beers here. This week's episode is Danny and Nathan from Angry Horse. And Danny, you'll recognize her because she was on the episode when she was with Congregation Brewing. But yeah, now she's over at Angry Horse. We had a fun conversation, Nathan and I and her, and got to have some of their beers over there. They're over in Montebello off of Whittier Boulevard. You might hear some cars drive by in that one because of how, like, where the actual brewery is. But yeah, we had a blast. So I'm looking forward to you guys listening to that. But let's jump into first brewski. This first one is from Prison Pals Brewing. It's called the Goat 10. It's a lot to live up to. Let's do it. Premium lager, special edition. It's an American lager. And they are from, they're from Doral, Florida. Nice. Good pull. These are both from Louis Liquor. 4.8%. And it says, I like how it has the relative bitterness. Two hops. All right, let's do it.
It's actually kind of cool can, too. It's pretty like sweet pink can. And blue. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping it, you know, can be used for, or it's interchangeable, both women and male like it.
Oh, yeah. I think it, like, it almost reminds me of, like, a bomb pop
kind of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Let's pull these cups over here, eh?
That was a good crack, by the way.
It's always a good crack, eh?
That's what she said, eh?
Right on, eh? Hoser.
Right after this, I gotta throw a whiz, eh?
Gotta throw a whiz, eh? All right. Yeah. Smells light. Smells delicious.
Definitely.
Let's jump in. Oh, it's got a good head to it.
Mm-hmm. Really good. It's very crisp.
Oh, super. Oh, that's nice. I mean, yeah, it's called the Goat 10. I mean, for being an American lager, and it's super light. Like you were saying, it's crisp. Yeah, it's super refreshing. And it's not like, you do get some like floral notes, but it's not like
overpowering.
Yeah, not at all. Dang. So if I ever get out to Doral, Florida, gonna have to try one of those. Wasn't there a brand of like Doral cigarettes?
I think so.
Maybe. I mean, I'm probably wrong, but you never know. Maybe it was from the same town.
Yeah, no, probably. I mean, Doral. Maybe it's just, you know, something in the South, you know, because they always roll cigarettes back in the South.
Yep. But yeah, so we got the call. Like I said, New Year's is, well, technically when this episode comes out today, it's crazy that it'll be a year that I started doing the tap room in February, but it was a year ago today, when this comes out, that Nov quit, quit the taps and tailgates. So that was when I had to kind of do things on my own. And I was like, shit, and obviously scared shitless. I've told this story before, so I don't want to harp on it too much. But yeah, I was like, okay.
And look at you now.
Yeah.
Thriving.
Yeah, killing it.
It's killing for sure.
Nervous as all hell. But yeah, got some great episodes coming up too. Like I said, today's Angry Horse, and then going to be doing something with Native Son and then Burning Bridge and also Pfeiffer's. Those episodes will be out in the next couple of weeks. And then Creature Comfort in LA as well. So thanks to Art from LA Brew Life. He hooked me up with those two. So that should be fun. With college football playoff.
Yeah.
Starts on New Year's Day.
Yep.
Michigan sure and is. Alabama. Who do you got in that game?
I'm going for Bama, honestly. You know, I think we had a talk last night about the conspiracy theory of Alabama.
Yeah.
I truly hope, Michigan, nothing against Michigan, truly there's no hate mm-hmm. or any dislike towards Michigan, but I hope Alabama wins.
Yeah. I mean, I think Alabama is going to win, but I was hoping, I mean, for Harbaugh to just finally get over the hump and make it, you know, to the championship game. So I think Alabama is going to win, but I'm pulling for Michigan.
Well, brings up Harbaugh with the other conspiracy that I spoke of last night about him going to the Chargers.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, that just opens up a whole, you know, can of worms. So that's another reason why I want Alabama to win.
Yeah.
Because, hey, he wants to go out and win, but once he does, he's going to Chargers.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't signed that contract right now, the 125 mil.
Yeah.
You know, that says, hey, plus you're not going to go to, you know, the NFL
offers
for like 2 years. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And he has like probably 3 offers on the table.
Oh, for sure.
So, but I mean, yeah, here we are, yep. Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Georgia and Florida State.
Yeah. They're playing right now. Georgia was up 7-0.
Yep. I mean, honestly, I think that's going to be probably the best football game.
Yeah, it could be a good one. I mean,
this weekend.
Yeah, it just sucks that, you know, Travis from freaking Florida State, their starting quarterbacks, you know, that's the reason why they got booted out of the playoff. But mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is now. Can't go back and change anything. But next year we have the 12 team. And then obviously what other game? It's the Texas and Washington game.
Yep.
I feel like the way Washington, I mean, I feel like if there's a weakness to Texas, I like their front seven, but their secondary is kind of suspect, and they gave up a lot of yards and points through the air to Oklahoma in their one loss this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that kind of plays right into Washington's hands. So Penix, I think that game could be a shootout.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, and Penix throwing, gosh, man, that kid is just dart after dart after dart. He's stud, man.
Oh yeah. He's really good. And I feel like, I think the over under was like 65 in that game. Mm-hmm. That could easily go over.
Maybe 65 or 68.
Yeah. I thought I saw it was 65.5, yeah, you're probably but right, it might've changed. I don't know. I mean, the lines are always moving.
Sure.
Who do you got in that game?
I got Washington.
Yeah. I hope Washington wins.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see, Washington actually go through and take it all. However, they're out of the Pac-12, mm-hmm. So it would just be like a snub in the nose of the Pac-12. Hey, we won, but guess what? We're out. See you later.
Yeah. It would be kind of cool though for like the Pac-12. And it's like essentially like last year because everybody else is really gone, like the original teams,
mm-hmm.
but it would be kind of cool if that's the way it ended. Like, one a Pac-12 team won the Natty.
Yeah. Well, also think of this too, is, who's going to replace all those, the teams that's left.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it'd be probably like teams like San Diego State or Boise State, but it's going to be a step down compared to what, they had obviously with Oregon and Washington and SC. And
UCLA. For sure. But it just elevates those teams for the Pac-12.
It'll help them with recruiting.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No. And that's what I mean is like these teams, they've been doing well. They've been ranked through, several different years now. And I think those teams that you just mentioned, but even Fresno State, I think bringing those into that Pac-12 would just be, huge.
100%.
Yeah. Cost-wise. Plus, we're close to Fresno State. That would be a great opportunity for us to actually, go see some more games.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and not that we can't now. And I've worked plenty of the Fresno State games, in my other profession, but, that was, a much different environment. So, but yeah.
Well, for sure. I think Washington ends up pulling it out.
Yeah, I think so too.
If Alabama wins and Texas wins and we have a fucking rematch of that game, what was like week 4 or 5? I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not. I mean, that was a hell of a game in Tuscaloosa, but I'd rather see Washington take that one.
I agree. I totally agree.
And I think if Washington and Michigan both won, it'd be kind of cool because they're both going to be in the Big Ten next year. So you'd have like a, an all Big Ten final essentially.
See, no, that's a good point too. Yeah. I didn't consider it that way. And man, that's actually, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, yeah.
Since putting them on top.
Yeah. Since they're going to be there, it's like, yeah, the Big Ten's essentially winning the title if both of those teams go. Yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, we got another brewski from my boys over. This one is from from Louis Liquor over in Azusa. This one is from, can you hand me that one? Yes,
sure. Yep, sir.
Beer Dads Brew Works. They also have a podcast as well. This is a West Coast, right up my alley. West Coast IPA. It says West Coast father figure. It looks like there's a guy holding dad holding a football, and he has his #1 dad on it, and he's got one of those beer helmets with the two beers coming out of it. So that's pretty awesome. And on the side it says, who catches the long ball at the company flag football game? Father Figure IPA. The staple Westie will keep you crushing you all year round. New football season recipe hopped with Citra, Citra Cryo, and Centennial. Ooh, that's going to be good. Why did the football coach go to the bank? To go to get a quarterback.
That's right.
That's totally a dad joke. I love it.
Oh, for sure.
Let's crack her open, eh?
Good one.
Right on.
Right on, right on, right on.
Ooh, yeah. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Get in my mouth. This is just a kid show. I'm just kidding.
Family show. It's yeah. A family show for sure.
Family show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man, no matter what it is, the smell.
Just, oh, yeah.
Man, this is just great.
It's such a, like, I mean, that's why I love, like, a West Coast because, you know, you get, like, a lot of them that are really, like, especially if you find the, like, you know, really good ones, like, they have, like, something crisp and clean, but then you also get that, those big old hoppy notes right on the nose and being able to, like, it's just, like, it smells, oh, yeah. It just, like, hops, like, right in your face, and yep. I fucking love it. Like, even when I went to Ism, might be one of my favorite beers I had all year. It was the West Coast Pilsner that they had. And I was like, the fuck out of here. It was so good. They couldn't see it. Obviously they couldn't see my face just listening to it. But when I was talking to, Ian, he was just like, he's like, yeah, you can't see his face, but my eyes just like, as soon as I drank it, like popped, but this smells delicious. So shout out to Beer Dads. Let's get a little sipper here. Hey? Good head on it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Really good.
Hmm. That is good. It's got... I'm trying to think of, like, what else I'm getting off of that.
Yeah, it's almost like a tang.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, at the end. You're getting a little something there. It's good. Like I said, shout out to Beer Dads. Always crushing it. Need to get you on the show. Maybe we can do a collab episode. Let's do it.
Heck, yeah.
Next thing I got before we jump into the interview is, do you have any favorite, I should have told you this earlier. Do you have any favorite New Year's stories? And if you need to think of one, I can go first.
Yeah, no, go ahead. But I mean, I probably have dozens.
There you go. Now we can just give like one or two. Mine first one was, we'll just call it the thong run. I was, 19 or 20 and we were hanging out in the back house when Jamin was living there. And shout out to the Dancing Bear. We were...
Jam
and
Coke.
Yeah, we got so fucked up.
No, go ahead.
We got trashed. And I don't know how many Jello shots I did and how many regular shots and keg stands and whatever else. But Jam and bought like 3 male thongs.
Oh, my goodness.
One was like a dominatrix one. One was like a banana one. And then one of... So he's like, dude, throw it on. And so I freaking threw one on. Threw my Stetson on. So I was just running down the street on Townley Drive, just in a thong and a Stetson. And they were blaring some song. I don't remember what it was, but it was fun.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. And then when I came running back, because it was kind of cold, don't judge me. Yeah. It was kind of cold. And
the thong shrank on me.
Yeah. And then Grandma Margaret, because when my cousin lived in the back house, my grandma lived in the front. And she was like, what the fuck are you doing? Jonathan,
get your ass over here. Yeah. Oh, man, I could see that.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah.
It was one of the good ones. You got one?
Well, so obviously I spent a lot of time overseas, right? So yeah. Some of the best times were, trying to find or, hey, man, how do we get alcohol for New Year's or any of that stuff? It never happened, right?
Yeah. Well,
never happened. General Order 1. I promise you, I never did. Sure, whatever. So we had a friend that was outside of, we call it outside the wire, right? And so when we would pass by, you know, on whatever route we were on,
yeah,
he would just be coming running out, and obviously it's pre-planned, right? Yeah. And, hey, we're coming by, swing, you know,
yeah.
And he'd come out with like a bag for us.
Nice.
And it's a brown bag. So I'm just grabbing the brown bag, coming back through, and then we're hitting our route and we're headed out doing our thing.
There you go.
Well, so this one particular time, you know, hey, we're headed your way. So grab the bag, but it slips and like a six pack of straight bud falls out lands. And every single person in the convoy was like, that was beer.
Yeah.
What is this guy doing? Oh my gosh. What the heck? That's why we stopped? Yeah. What the hell? And how, where's mine? You know? So as soon as we got to the next stop, it was like everybody came up to us and was like, hey, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Hey, mind your business, right? Mind your business. But
fuck out of here.
kind of caveat to that was about 3 days after the last, and it was probably about January 4th or so, give or take a few days after New Year's on our last pickup.
Yeah.
We were clearing, coming back, and one point of it. So the QRF team was out there clearing an IED.
Oh, shit.
Because we had stopped so many times, they set up an IED there. So the next time we stopped, it was going to go off.
Oh, shit.
So QRF actually found it and we're clearing it. So when we're back, I'm all, oh, dude, they were setting us up for next time. I can't even pick up beer anymore.
Oh, damn.
But then again, you know, I can't pick up beer in Iraq anyway. So
yeah.
General Order 1 was followed.
Yeah. I think the only other one I can think of just off the top of my head is, Kyla kind of mentioned it yesterday. We were at our buddy Carlos's house, and it turns out the neighbors directly behind him were having a party, and the fence wasn't too high. So we were all, I don't know how many, I was drinking like Rockstar and vodka. It was bad, an upper and a downer at the same time.
Oh yeah,
but sure. I wasn't 21. We'll just say that. And for some reason we were hanging out. I think I was having a frajo by the wall, and then some dude was right there, and like some chick. They're like, "What are you guys doing?" They're like, "Hey, do you want a Jello shot?" And I was like, "Fuck it!" So I jumped over to their party. So I jumped the fence, was hanging out with them, and then all of a sudden Dusty jumps over, and I think then Kai jumped over, and so we essentially left our buddy's party to go party with some people behind him.
Hey, sometimes the grass is greener on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, it was a fun night though. And then on the way home, what makes it funny is because Jammin was with Shelly, and her tags were expired. And all of a sudden, a cop was behind her, and I was underage, drunk, and she was just like, "Get the fuck out of the car! Get the fuck out of the car!" So me, Nav, and Jam jump out of the car. Nav's holding, propping me up, walking me home for like the kind soul that he is. And we're getting there, and I won't say anything else about Jam. But yeah, I barely made it home. I woke up the next morning on the hammock that Jam had in the backyard.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good time. Classic. Class of 95.
Yeah, I mean, I had one last one on, not military related, but police related, of course. You know, your sister went on a ride along with me on New Year's.
Oh, nice.
And this was, I want to say maybe 2015, 16.
Yeah.
Something like that. And, so I was working gangs at the time. And, so we kind of had a plan of where we were going to hit. And I say hit, our team was going to saturate and do patrol checks and, stop any violent crimes from taking place and make our presence known.
Yeah.
We would do that numerous, places throughout the county, of course, but this particular thing, Kai was on a ride along with us, with me and my partner, Alex, his wife, Patty was on a ride along with him.
Oh, shit.
So, and it was just kind of like, hey, you know, yeah, it's kind of fun. So we ended up getting a call from one city, and it was probably about 20-minute drive.
Okay.
Just driving, nicely. And, hey, there's a stabbing taking place at this bar.
Oh, shit.
And it's turning into a whole gang fight, right? So get in the car. Boom. We're hauling, dude. I'm talking like 100 and something miles an hour, just going as fast as we can.
Yeah.
Lights and sirens, all the way there. And as soon as we get there, there's absolutely no one there. No one called us off. So we get there. We're like ready for war, dude. Yeah. You know, like we're ready to strip down and like beat people and like take them to jail and do all this.
Yeah.
No one's there. The bar closed down. It's like, what? What the heck?
Yeah.
So we cleared there. And Kai's at this point, she's like, I'm feeling nauseous.
Yeah.
Because every time we come to a stop, I have to stop because, you know, I don't want cross traffic to run into me.
Yeah, you don't want to get T-boned.
Yeah. So I'm stopping and then gassing really quick.
Yeah.
And that car is just, I mean, super fast. Hemi.
Yeah.
It was a Charger, you know, it's unrestricted.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
That thing's just, woo, it sounds like a, you know, an airplane just hauling ass wherever you go.
Classic.
And so we end up getting, you know, directed to another location. And this little location is fairly active. So we kind of narrow down where a lot of gunfire is coming from.
Yeah.
So we have one team going to the front, Kai, myself in one vehicle, and Alex and Patty in another vehicle. And we're kind of going through this area because it's AK-47 fire going up in the air. And it's like nonstop. You can hear it. Automatic fire. It's stall. Reload. And dude, it was just going and going and going. So I'm first. I'm going through this alleyway. And Alex and Patty are behind us.
Yeah.
And they're going to be going up after we cross. I'm blacked out. Lights are out completely.
Yeah.
My window's down so I can hear better. And I hear people partying and doing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, and I saw pieces of the fence that we were in the alley start breaking. And I gunned it. And I was like, get down, get down. And Kai's like putting her head down. She's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
So we ended up like, you know, passing all that and then stopping in this apartment complex.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, hey, what goes up must come down,
right? Of course, yeah.
So I, you know, grabbed, hey, put this helmet on, right? So I had an extra helmet and I gave her a helmet. She's like, what the hell am I? What just happened, right?
That she was in a war. Yeah, exactly. A pretty firefight.
Freaking gunshot. Dude, it was cracking the fence, dude, as we were like just coming through.
Wow.
Oh, man. So, yeah, fun times.
There you go.
Happy New Year's. That's what I told her. Yeah.
Happy New Year's, you filthy animal.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's wild.
She will always tell you, I've never been so like car sick in my life.
Oh shit.
From just going, stopping, going, stopping, going, stop. And then, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Later on, we were ripping, at another house, we were ripping planks off the fence where we had like three people at gunpoint.
Oh Jesus. Cause
they were shooting guns too.
Oh wow.
So we were ripping their fence down to get to them because obviously we're not going through the front door.
Yeah.
Going to go knock. Hey, can you let us in? No, dude, we're already ripping shit down.
Classic.
And so we took these guys in the custody and we take them back to the station and some of the patrol guys are going to end up booking them. And Kai and Patty are kind of sitting and they're talking, you know, and the deputies from that station walk in and they're like, oh, these are the guys. Hey, who are the girls? And they're just talking.
What do they do?
Yeah. And they're like, hey, you with them? Like the bad guys?
Yeah.
They're like, no, my husband's right there. And she's like, my husband's right there. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. You know, like he was going to go handcuff him, take him with him.
Sorry, eh?
Oh, dude, it was a crack up.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, man.
So I was like, see, you look like a criminal.
There you go. That's some fun New Year stories for you guys. We're going to, the interview's good. We're about to jump into the interview, but stay tuned for the outro. Got a funny little quote for you. Well, thanks for being on, brother.
I appreciate it every time.
No, always.
You know it.
Always love coming up here, hanging out with you guys and having some beers with you.
Yeah, always, brother. I love it.
And we'll have some whiskey tonight too.
Yes, sir.
Game on. All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Danny Lopez and Nathan McCusker from Angry Horse Brewing. If you get a chance to go down there, it's right off of Montebello Boulevard. And I want to say third, I'm sorry if I got that wrong, but I know it's on Whittier Boulevard in Montebello. All right. Enjoy the interview. All right, guys, we're back in the tap room, and I am your host, Mike. I have a very special guest on today, or two, actually. I have Nathan McCusker, the owner and founder of Angry Horse Brewing here in Montebello. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. Also have Danny Lopez, who's a returning guest. She was on when... was it a few months? Was that back in July when you were on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it July?
I think so. August. Yeah, it was either July or August. So, but yeah, we'll jump in with Danny first, and then Nathan first, and then Danny. But Nathan, can you tell us about Angry Horse? How long have you guys been here?
Yeah, we opened our doors in 2017. Came to Montebello in 2016, did a build out, opened our doors. So we're about to go on our 8-year mark in March.
Oh wow, that's awesome! And like, what was the? And you said you mentioned to me off just a second ago that you started homebrewing in 2006.
Yeah, I think it was around 2006 we started homebrewing, and lived in Eagle Rock at the time and joined a homebrew club and got involved at Eagle Rock Brewing as they were going through their opening process.
Okay, that's cool. And what was that like? Was it just when you first started kind of dipping your feet into it?
I mean, it was fun. It's I think my first batch of beer when I found the recipe online and it said it was George Washington's beer.
Okay.
So I thought it was awesome to be able to brew George Washington's beer, even though after the fact found out it was probably not really his and they probably didn't brew. But at that point, I thought it was illegal. So I went to the library because I was afraid to Google how to brew beer to get on a watch list or something. So went to a library and found out that this was a whole community, a whole thing. There were homebrew supply stores and breweries popping up right in my backyard. So I went about it and brewed my first batch of beer, probably one of the worst batches of beer that you'd ever taste.
Yeah.
And I think trying to figure out what I did wrong is where I got the bug for brewing. Because, I mean, there were just so many things to learn about what could have potentially happened. And from there, I just started brewing nearly every weekend and giving away a lot of beer and making a lot of bad batches until we start getting some good ones.
Awesome. I mean, and that's always cool because I always feel like the brewers are like, or perfectionists, like, you know, you can make like a really good batch, but then you're always still kind of like, man, I could tweak this little thing to change that or to change this. So, I mean, that's what I love about when I'm just talking to brewers and stuff like that. To me, that's like, that's how I am with this show. Like, I wanted to try to make it as good as possible. So, I mean, I feel like with brewers, it's never ending.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And right now, with everything that's coming out in the pro brewing world and all the technology and the education out there right now, I feel like this is kind of the heyday for craft beer. Every month, there seems to be a new article about, you know, yeast growth or morphology or biotransformation. It's amazing the research that's going on right now in craft beer. So if you're not growing and learning, you're aging.
Oh, definitely. And what was it like? How did you find, were you originally from this area or did you just like, how'd you come about this space?
Yeah. So we actually got approached by the mayor at the time. He knew a little bit about our brewery, a little bit about our brand and called us saying that he wanted to talk with us about possibly opening a Montebello. He knew that we were very community centric. They were opening to be a benefit corporation and they had this whole plan to bring back the Boulevard. So we fit really well into that plan. We came, met with them, talked about the issues we were having trying to open in LA and they kind of circumnavigated all of those, almost immediately got us into a room with the fire department, planning and zoning. So they could look at our building plans and say, hey, these are the things we think you need to modify. These are the things all look good. Go back, fix them, come back later today, and we can probably get you a stamp. So that's we did that, signed a lease, and the next thing we knew, it was full steam ahead.
That's awesome because, I mean, just when I talked to John from Whittier Brewing Company, when I talked to Augustine, they both said that, like, Pico and Whittier were like really strict and they were like, oh, kind of not wanting a brewery in town. So that's awesome that Montebello was willing to just, you know.
Absolutely. I remember when Brujeria was opening, Pico even reaching out to us and picking our brain. They met with the city staff here actually at our brewery and talked with us a little bit about the process. And it's nice to have a city that knows what breweries can do for a community. And Montebello seemed to be right in those lines. So it was perfect.
That's awesome. Because I feel like, maybe because it's like new to a city, they're like, they feel like there's some sort of stigma around it, but it's like, it's just people coming together over, really good beer.
Yeah. I think there's still a lot of education to do out there about the difference between breweries and bars and some of the things that you can have at one or the other, breweries being much more family friendly.
Of course.
I think that education is still needed, but the more that breweries are opening and the more that communities are seeing the benefit, the more it's starting to spread amongst cities or communities that don't have a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing so much growth right at the moment, is cities are now, you know, reaching out to breweries saying,
yeah,
we want you to come to our community. Have you thought about opening a new location?
Yeah.
Because they see what a brewery can do for a community.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And do you have, like, you know, for brewing all these years, was there a specific beer that kind of did it for you? Or, like, you know, because I remember for mine, I think my first craft beer was Stone.
Yeah.
Way back, it was like the normal IPA, like, you know, their regular IPA was, that was the one that got me.
Yeah, Stone, either Stone or Sierra Nevada were the two that kind of, like, got me in the craft beer world.
Okay.
Prior to that, I mean, growing up in a small town in Arizona, it's, yeah. There weren't a lot of opportunities for craft beer growing up. So moving to California and having Sierra Nevada Pale Ale and then Stone was one that just completely opened up. It was like doors had opened for me. That there was flavor out there. There were possibilities. So like you, it probably was Stone or Sierra Nevada.
That's awesome. And do you have a favorite style that you like to brew?
Oh, man.
Oh, do you brew and drink?
It depends on the time of day and the season. And right now, I'm really into West Coast Pilsners. We have our Pio Pico Pilsner that I really enjoyed brewing and coming up with a recipe. And right at the moment, I'm really enjoying drinking it. With it being a little bit cold, I kind of like stouts and quads and a little bit more of those heavy beers as well. So I think it just... For me, it just depends on the time of day and time of year with what beers I really enjoy.
That's awesome. I mean, and they're always looking for different, you know, different types of beer to try and different things to, you know, to kind of enjoy and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
That was my bad on the pause there.
No worries.
And which one is this one that I'm drinking?
Montebello Pale Ale.
Okay. I'm going to have to try the... The West Coast Pilsner, because you don't like you're starting to see more of those, and anything West Coast, you know, I'm in for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we designed and had manufactured a hop gun to help infuse the hops into it. So,
oh wow,
we're pretty excited about it. It was right after taking the brewing and malting science course, got inspired, and we had this thing manufactured and came up with this new recipe, and now it's one of our main beers. So.
That's awesome. That's cool. And what was it? Because we talked a little bit before about, like, you know, what it was like, you know, just kind of recovering from COVID and stuff like that. Because I know for breweries, it was really hard.
Yeah, I think it continues to be somewhat hard. I mean, we're definitely moving in the right direction, I think, a lot of us. But it's gonna take a while to overcome, you know, the closures and then the partial closures for 40, I think it was 47 weeks that we were completely closed.
Yeah.
And 43 weeks that we had a partial closure where we could have limited occupancy. So that level of closure is going to take quite a while to get back on the other side of. But, you know, we have a really resilient community and a great base of people that really love us. So it's been really wonderful from the day we were able to have people back in the doors till now. We've really had kind of a great time trying to meet the need as best as possible here in Montebello.
Of course. So were you guys canning during COVID too? Were you able to sell like four packs and stuff like that during that time?
We started canning well before COVID, but we definitely stepped up our canning efforts during COVID. We did some direct consumer, did a membership program where we could ship directly to some kind of our diehard followers.
Awesome.
We also pivoted and tried to provide pretty much if the community needed it, we were trying to provide it and you know, meet the need of whatever was needed at that time. So we pivoted and then pivoted back when we were able to open, then pivoted back when we had to close again, then pivoted back when we were able to open.
Okay.
So it's it helped us to cultivate the art of flexibility.
That's awesome. That's cool. I mean, and to me, it's all about community anyway, because, I mean, just the craft beer community is just so open and I feel like always willing to help, to lend a hand and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that really attracted me to craft beer is that camaraderie with other brewers. I think Jeremy and Ting at Eagle Rock are a great example. Just salt of the earth individuals that are willing to jump on a phone call and help you troubleshoot issues at any point. When our pump breaks, brewery is right down the road and will help us out. Hey, we'll give you the loaner pump for the day so you can get through your brew day.
Yeah.
Vice versa. When somebody's keg washer breaks, we can go over and wash kegs. It's really a beautiful community in craft beer. And especially right now, as I think everybody's trying to elevate their game and produce better products all the time. And, mm-hmm. You know, partnering together on education so we can all, you know, just provide better product to the LA consumer.
Well, for sure. I feel like beer education is huge, especially, you know, in a brewery, because if somebody comes in and they're not really sure what to order, you can have somebody there to, you know, kind of tell them, like, oh, what kind of stuff are you into, or what kind of styles do you like? And you can point them in the right direction. And I feel like when that happens, you get somebody, that person will come back.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, oh, well, they know what they're talking about. Like, they told me to try this one, and I did, and I loved it. So you get that kind of, that loyalty, or that, what's the right word? I'm probably going to have to edit this out after, but I'll remember. Just the, like, oh, gosh, like the trust is what I mean. Like, you'll trust that person, you know, well, that brewery, they're going to put out a quality product, and, you know, they're going to guide me in the right direction to what I would probably prefer to drink.
Yeah, I absolutely. I think the consumer education around product, especially as more beers becoming available and styles are starting to meld a little bit, West Coast Pilsner.
Yeah.
Great example, where if you told somebody, oh, yeah, if you like Pilsner, you're going to like this. It's a very different beer from a traditional Pilsner. So I think the educational component is definitely really important, especially for people that are used to, you know, Modelo's or Bud Lights or Budweiser's, educating on what else is out there and, for lack of a better word, the gateways. Like, this is, oh, that's all you drink? Well, maybe try this.
And,
you know, at our street fest that we do over here in Montebello, those are some of the conversations we've had to have, where it's, well, this is somewhat similar. It's just a little bit more flavorful, a little bit, you know, bigger body. And, you know, those have now become diehard customers. They're here every day and they're drinking our, you know, double IPAs.
Yeah.
It was just getting them past that first hurdle of what a craft beer could be that is, you know, just opened up their world.
Oh, of course. I think I mentioned it when I had Danny on the first time. I was like, what was like your gateway drug? Like, what was the beer that, you know, that did it for you? So,
yeah.
I mean, there's always that one. And that's one thing I love, you know, when it comes to the community. It's not like, because everybody is so open and everybody's willing to help, that you get those people that, you know, not like other communities, not to knock wine. I'm not a wine drinker, but I mean, there's certain people that can be like, oh no, this is our thing. And the craft beer community is 100% the opposite of that.
Yeah. I think for the most part, you're absolutely right. It's very much like a shared culture of raising everybody's expectations.
And just elevating, like, you know, elevating the product. And when you put out a quality product, people are going to find it no matter what.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, the more all of us are doing better, the better it's going to be for all of us. If we can become known as a craft beer marketplace, similar to Denver or Portland or, you know, you name it, what other marketplace where people are now coming to Los Angeles to get the best of the best, again, all ships will rise together.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, really, it's like, Los Angeles, Orange County, like all of it. I mean, I feel like you can go anywhere now and, you know, find good craft beer. Way back when, for me, it was like I had to drive to San Marcos to go get some Stone if I wanted it. Because even then, it was hard to find in, like, liquor stores back then.
Yeah.
But I feel like even now, liquor stores have to carry craft beer just to be able to keep, you know, to try to keep up with, you know, other, like, places like Total Wine or BevMo and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And it's funny to think of, like, how far LA has come in such a short amount of time. I think just recently, I think it came out where we have three of the top breweries in the United States are here in the Los Angeles basin. It's pretty wild to think that we've really come into our own and have this vibrant culture and great product being produced across the board.
Oh, no doubt. That's awesome. All right. So we just had to grab another beer, and this one is
Caballo Negrito.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I said it right. And I'm like, I know Spanish. I should know how to pronounce it.
And it's the dark lager?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. And Danny obviously is now on here with us. How's it going?
Yeah. It's going great.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
I know. As I said, returning guest.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm always awkward. But it's no video, so it's fine. I don't have to look a certain way.
Oh, no. You were great the first time. That was awesome. So how did this come about? Tell me.
How long ago? I think the first time was like before the pandemic, right? Where, well, I've known Nathan when I was like working at Sanctum, which is like the first brewery that I worked at. So that's the first time I met him, through my bosses at the time that owned Sanctum. And I would just bump. There was a couple of times after that I saw him, and then that was it. And that was when he was telling me about, or he was telling us that they were going to open a brewery. I don't remember where they were going to do it. And then they were just doing it in the works. And it was shortly like in between, after, I think it was like my third brewery that I was at, noticed that they were hiring, and we were just going back and forth.
Yeah.
Until eventually, like, I stepped in and I'm like, all right, like, I'm like ready to go on board, like sign me up.
Okay, that's awesome. Because I mean, that was just obviously recently, right? So
yeah.
When did you start?
It's been already 3 months.
Almost, yeah.
Almost 3 months.
Wow.
That's I've been here.
Time flies though. I mean, I can't believe well, when this airs, Christmas. No, I think it'll be the. I think this will be Christmas weekend. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the time just feels like the year just flew by.
Oh yeah, the last 3 months I feel like are especially so, like getting into the holidays and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild how quickly this year went by.
Yeah, everything just ramps up. What other beers are you guys brewing right now? You said you have the West Coast Pilsner. What else you guys got coming down the line?
Well, I'm really excited about a s'more stout that we're working on that should be available very soon.
I got a sample. Is this like there's a little bit too much CO2 pressure, but it's like you could get a taste, so you can like see where it's at.
Yeah,
get kind of like a little bit of a field of it.
It smells delicious.
We got together and we really tried to develop this, you know, take advantage of the season, because when it comes to this style, you can only brew it at a certain time frame, and if you don't, then you're just gonna sit with it there. But I'm really excited the fact that we could able to develop. This is one of my favorite styles.
Yeah,
like, I could technically drink it all year long, but our plan was for it to be a certain style. It's 7.6 ABV.
Okay,
is where it's at, and everybody's palate is different, so everybody's gonna get different notes. We did use graham crackers, marshmallows. Like, we really like try to incorporate that flavor of the s'mores into the beer, but not in an artificial way, more like, you know, like in a legit way. So everybody's gonna get something. Some people might try like that, like graham cracker taste, you know, very light. Some people will get that sweetness. It just like depends, but we're really stoked about this beer style for sure.
Yeah, no, you're definitely getting those notes from there and all that. So that's really good. And when is this one going to be fully ready?
What did we say, like next week? Sometime next week? Or it just depends?
Hoping to get it on tap next week, and then it'll be in cans probably the very following week.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Before the holidays.
Perfect. So perfect timing. Get to come down Angry Horse and
we're gonna party hard.
There you go.
A dessert in a not like, I mean, it was obviously not a pastry style, but it's just like, to me, it's not heavy.
Oh, so not at
when
all.
People see like darker beers, they think like, oh, you know, it's like it's gonna be too much. But in reality, you know, it really isn't. You could enjoy more than once, and I think when it's colder, you can enjoy more than one beer.
Yeah,
especially this style of beers. You know, doesn't feel too heavy on the palate.
Yeah, and no, like no pun intended, but you can sit around the campfire and, you know, and have a pack a few of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're gonna have fun with that one though. We're gonna put like a little like. We're planning on putting on a marshmallow or roast a marshmallow and then put it on the glass.
Oh, there you go.
Or something like that. So we're going to see how it works out. Just something fun, different.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. Definitely want to be there for that.
Awesome. Well, what other beers do you guys have on tap? So if people are going to come down and...
We have our mainstays. Our East LA IPA is our top seller. That's kind of like our flagship beer.
Okay.
Traditional West Coast style IPA. Our Caballo Bravo, we won Best Mexican Lager in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's awesome.
Earlier this year, so that's on tap. We have Purple AF, which is a hibiscus saison.
Ooh, nice.
Which is super refreshing. It's a great one to take to the beach. I like to take it out sailing. What else do we have on tap?
Well, we're going to be coming out with we have a red. You know how popular those are.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I was like, which I still don't understand why people have, like, a really weird thing about reds. They're such good style. And the one that we just kegged, it's so good. Yeah. Like, I absolutely love this red. Right now, we were able to let some of our beers lager a little longer.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, it does make a difference. But, I mean, it's still true to the style. Like, it's not like we changed anything from the process or anything. That it just sat a little bit longer. And it just really, really, like, you get those notes of what the red should taste like.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to me, I'm like, if I'm not being supervised, I could easily drink, like, three of those. You know, like, nice. No problem. And I was like, but that's how good it is. And I'm excited for that one. We have another one, Take Me to Paradise.
Okay.
So juicy, so good. Everybody gets different notes depending on, you know, because, you know, obviously the hops really incorporate that, especially if you dry, whatever you're dry hopping. That there's that one that he talked about, the Pio, right? Oh yeah, Hop It To Me. That one was really good. I was really like, I'm not a big IPA person, but if you dry hop anything and you choose your hops right when it comes to dry hopping, it just, that beer will really shine and you could really taste all those notes. Everybody gets everything different. You know, I love those tropical notes in IPA. And that's the kind of only style I like to drink, just because like a lot of IPAs can be too bitter for me.
Yeah.
And I don't really like too much of that herbal, earthiness, piney kind of flavor to the beer. So I like more of the tropical notes in an IPA.
Okay.
Yeah, we dry hop that with Cashmere and Comet. So you get, I mean, melon and passion fruit.
Yeah.
And it, we got the hops directly from the California Hop Growers Coalition.
Oh, awesome.
So super fresh, pretty delicious. It went a little bit overboard on the dry hop, but I think it was well worth it.
Yeah.
Pleasantly surprising.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. I mean, I hate having to, like, when you're trying to transfer that beer.
Yeah.
Because it's like, gosh darn it, man. Like, get these hops out of, like, here. Like, it's just so hard. You never know.
Yeah.
But it's always fun and interesting. Every style is so different. Mm-hmm. And I always feel like when you get to do that, it's always fun.
Yeah.
He's not here, but we have our assistant, Justin. And so he's also learning the process and getting more experience in doing things. So it's always fun to watch other people doing the stuff that you started doing and just getting a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. So obviously now you have just a lot more available for you, more resources and more information when it comes to, like, you know, brewing and whatnot and what, you know,
of course.
But at the same time, you have fun with it and you could explore. What I love about here is that we get to, like, all have our ideas and kind of mix it up. So it's not just one idea person, like, whatever I say goes, you know? And it's like, we have more, like, we love exploring new, different ideas. And because somebody might have something that say something that we didn't think about. I'm like, oh, yeah, we could do it that way. Or, let's totally try that, you know? And you just never know. You could be probably making something amazing, you know, during that process. So I think it's pretty cool.
The collaboration stuff, like, when it comes to any, like, type of brewery, I feel like that's the best part. Like, because you can find that, you know, that common ground, but then like you said, Danny, like, you can, somebody may not, well, I may not think of something, but then you might think of something, or, you know, vice versa. So, I mean, I feel like that's one of the best things.
Yeah. I think when you have experience, like, I've made, like, enough mistakes.
Yeah.
And I screwed up so much along the way that it helped me develop to know what to do, what not to do, what to try. So, you know, this is my sixth brewery working at.
Yeah.
So I have enough experience on, like, what to, like, stay away from and let other people kind of have their opinion on it. I'm like, or to me, it's like, if somebody wants to try, I'm like, okay, go ahead. But it didn't work out for me. But if you think that you could tweak it somehow and do it better, go for it. So to me, I'm very open-minded. I'm not like, oh, whatever, you know, what do you know? I have experience and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I always feel like you could kind of, great minds and, you know, the knowledge that Nathan has, the knowledge that I have, and we could really sit down and just bounce ideas and information. Because Nathan knows his stuff more, like, you know, the textbook thing. And then it's understanding and learning more the technical stuff and growing in certain areas that I lack on. And then it benefits, you know, whatever he might not know, I know. And then we just mix those two. And then it's just a great dynamic.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's like when you need those kind of people to bounce off of and stuff like that. Because I'm not, like, tech savvy. It took me a long time just to figure out how to record something on here. It took me a while, my brother is the one that kind of did all this stuff before when we had our old show. But then once I took over, like, I was like, all right, well, it was baptism by fire. And you kind of had to go on YouTube and find all the certain things. So you find, you know, you find those little tricks to the trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think to me now, something that I saw before that was very toxic in the work environment was that not to ask for help or figure it out. Or if you do ask, then it comes across as, oh, you don't know what you're doing, or you lack knowledge of some sort.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, and I felt as the time went by, and I'm like, no, it doesn't make you like dumb, or, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing. It's just that there, to me, that says a lot more about you. Like, if I'm not 100% sure, I go and ask Nathan and bounce my ideas. Like, does this sound right to you?
Yeah.
Do you think this is okay?
Because you want to learn. You want to make sure you're doing things correctly. Yeah.
Like, before I continue, because I don't want to blow up the place, like, you know, am I doing this right? Like, you need another set of eyes.
100%.
You know, my brain and my way of working is going, like, 10 times faster.
Yeah.
So I'm always, like, up and down moving, you know? And so when I take the moment to, like, kind of throw an idea or let Nathan know what I'm doing, that he's gonna be like, wait a second. And I think he does the same with us, where he's like, he's about to do it, and I'm like, and he's like, no, you're right, no, I'm gonna do that. And it's the same thing, and I think that works, because you're gonna, like, doing that helps you prevent making a lot of mistakes, and you're gonna save money also.
Oh, for sure. That. Yeah,
you know, because if you take upon something yourself and you don't, you know, kind of get that second opinion, you're gonna kind of cause either chaos, but you want to minimize that. And
of course.
So to me, I always thought that I always like to vocalize that with people when they ask me for advice. I'd be like, you know, just make sure you're all on the same team.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I'm not doing my own thing, and he's not doing his own thing. We're all keeping each other informed of what we're doing, and that helps us, you know, better anything that needs to kind of need improvement of some sort.
Yeah.
So I like doing that, and I always make sure that wherever I go, I vocalize, and people are like, oh, that's micromanaging. I'm like, no, it's not. I think it's good to communicate, because then you let that person know that they're being included.
Yeah.
And, you know, because no secret of like, oh, no, this doesn't, like, pertain to you. Like, this has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, so to me, I always like to make sure that everybody's included. Like, I know that in the beer world, even, like, cellarmen are kind of, like, minimized for some reason, which I think is sad a lot of times. So even Justin gets included in a lot of things, because I always try to remind myself how I want to be treated in the workplace. And it's something that it's not just in the production area, but even, like, in front house, the beer tenders, I like to keep them included, keep them informed, so, you know, they feel special. They feel like, oh, I'm important too.
Of course.
You know, so I like doing that, and I think that's such a big step, and it will say a lot about, you know, the brewery itself when you do that. It's like, it's a community, and it's
100%.
Family,
yeah, I was gonna say exactly what I was gonna say. It's a family. Yeah, you need to all be on the same page. You need to, and, you know, when somebody needs help with something, you help out your family.
Yeah. Even though people say it's like such a toxic thing to say, where it's like, when we're here, we're family. And everybody's like, run, no, you don't want to hear. But it's like, I think it just depends. You know, we're not some corporate company. You know, we're not some chain. So we're in a size where we could look out for each other. And, you know, it's not like just money.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're actually looking for the well-being, you know, for each other, because I think in order for it to run, like, properly, and if you want loyalty also,
of course,
that it also plays into that whole kind of, like, work environment, I guess, if I'm saying that right.
No, you got it.
Yeah, I think it's fun, the team that we've built right now. We've kind of removed the, I don't know if ego is the right word, but where we can just ask each other, like, what are you trying to achieve with that?
Yeah.
Instead of getting upset and, like,
You can check your ego at the door.
Are you trying to challenge what I'm doing here? It's like, no, I just want to understand. And I feel like that's one of the things that's really wonderful with the three of us that are working in the back of house right now, is as we do things, Danny can ask me, like, oh, why are you doing it that way?
Yeah.
I've not seen that before. Why? What are you trying to achieve?
Yeah.
And then I can share, and she'll have, you know, feedback on what I'm doing, or vice versa. Same thing with Justin. I feel like as we have these conversations and try to see, like, why people are going about things the way they're going about it, it helps us all to elevate to a new level, or to share, like, oh, well, we haven't done that traditionally this way because of X, Y, and Z, or With the X, Y, and Z brewery, we didn't do it that way. We tried, and it went this way, and it helps to elevate us all, I think. And that, I don't know how rare that is. I feel like maybe that's just a brewery world thing, but removing the ego where you can kind of have these conversations, I find it very fun.
Yeah.
Because we're learning. I mean, I learn so much every day. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I've been quoting Shawshank a lot lately. I've always said, like, get busy living or get busy dying. And it's like, you know, I don't know why, because I watched it a few weeks ago. And now it's just in my head. So,
I mean, it's
that's a fantastic quote.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, and I think I said this last time, it's beer.
Yeah.
You know, and I always find it funny sometimes that people take it at a different level or too serious. Mm-hmm. And I'm just it's like, dude, it's like, you're killing the whole vibe of what it's supposed to be. You know, we take things seriously. Obviously, we don't mess around in certain areas. Like, we follow protocols, like, when it comes to dealing with chemicals. Like, we're just, you know, we're not, like, coming in here and, like, oh, you know, you're half naked in the brew house, you know? I mean, there's people that do it, and by all means, like, I know people are going to hate, but it's like, dude, like, you want to wear shorts? Cool, dude, that's all you.
Yeah.
But I'm too traumatized and paranoid to wear that, you know, because I've seen way too many videos, and I've seen, there was a chat that I had with, like, other brewers where they would send you pictures and what goes on at the breweries when you don't follow protocol, or you don't, what's the abbreviated term for the PPE? And I was just like, people like, I'm like, I already had caustic at one brewery that I worked at. Like, it's straight caustic. And if I didn't have my gear on, who knows how that would have ended up, you know? Yeah. I would have looked like Scar.
Yeah.
Like, from Batman or whatever his name is. Like, half my face, burned off. And I was just like it's real. Like, it just, when I see people take it so lightly, I'm like, dude, like, really? Like, all right, I did it. Like, what kind of skin do you have? You don't wear, like, cover up. Like, the way that sometimes I deal with chemicals, it looks like I'm going into, like, you know, Monster Inc. when they're, like, invading in there to clear out the contamination or whatever. Uh-huh. They had this, like, all this gear.
It's a great movie.
That's the gear that I wear because I'm so traumatized. I'm like, I don't want any chemicals on me. You know, it's like, as long as it doesn't hit my moneymaker, like, I'm just, it's all good for me.
Oh, and speaking of a friend of yours, Adrian Hodap.
The which one?
Adrian from Hermosa. She told me, because her birthday was today, I told her I was going to come talk to you. She said to tell you hi.
Oh, yeah. How's she doing?
She's good. I mean, I talked to her, I think, in August, like late August.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was, you know, super sweet. But she just wanted to, I told her that I was coming down to see you, because she asked about you or your episode when I was there. So
She's such a sweetheart. She's one of, there's not a lot of women in the industry, and she's one of the women that I have such admiration. And I mean, she was at Three Weavers for such a long time, and seeing her grow in the industry and seeing a lot of women growing in the industry, I always find it very flattering when I have women ask me for advice or help them out in some way or some form. And I sometimes forget, like, I'm like, how can I benefit? Like, I'm like, oh, we're on the same boat, dude. Yeah. Like, are you sure you want my advice? You know, I feel like I'm like the old grumpy people of, like, the industry, you know? So to me, it's always very inspiring, and it keeps me motivated when I see other women that want to be in the industry. I keep it real, though.
Oh, for sure.
So, but then at the same time, I tell them, you know, with what I've learned, and now the I think the beer world has changed and shifted a little bit. Yeah. It's not what it used to be when I started. You know, you don't see that whole toxic, bad work environment that I was working in when I started. And I'm disregarding Sanctum because it was not like that at Sanctum.
Yeah.
But I was very fortunate to work in an environment, you know, that was like that. So I always tell people, like, you know, always ask the right people and kind of progress and whatnot. So it's kind of cool to see some of the girls. I think one of them, I think you know her, Bridget. She was at
Bridget, yeah.
Yeah, so she, like, hit me up, and just seeing her journey, like, it's always motivating for me. I'm like, okay, I didn't realize that I could have an impact on somebody. And I said, oh, I've been following your page forever, and, you know, you're the reason that this. I'm like, what? Really? Like,
because I think that day that I did come down here, because I posted the picture of the glass, and she was like, oh, I'm going down there later, and I was just leaving, so. But she seems super nice, and I think she works over at Burning Bridge, too. Mm-hmm. Like, she pours beer there, because one of the reasons I brought up Adrian, too, because when I was talking to Ian yesterday over ISM, I guess Adrian over the pours there a couple days a week. Okay. So I mean, but it, like you were saying though, I feel like women are underutilized big time, especially obviously in the brewing industry. But I feel like it's growing, I feel like, you know, like even with Pink Boots, like I if anybody's from Pink Boots is listening, I want someone from your organization on the show, just to be able to talk to them and like to be able to get awareness out there, because you know there's, you know, women can brew too. Like, you know, it's not like, you know, anything where sometimes where I feel like some people feel like it's like a man's game, but it's not. I mean, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to put in that work to be able to learn and stuff like that.
Yeah. I just saw like people that it's like, and I think, you know, Nathan mentioned this earlier where, you know, we're all should be as a team.
Yeah.
You know, the craft beer world should not be divided. It should be united in that sense, because, you know, the ones that we need to worry about is like the bigger guys that are trying to like push us down and take over still.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like we shouldn't be like, oh my God, that brewery over there is like, did you try that beer? Oh my God. It's like milkshake IPA. It's like, I just feel like you should never badmouth anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, to me, it's whatever you might be feeling, because, and it says a lot about the person. Either the person hasn't been in the industry that long,
mm-hmm. yeah,
or you grew up and that your mom always told you that everything you did was perfect. Yeah. So I'm just like, I just think that, you know, we should work as a community, and working here in the just short amount of time that I've been here, I see that unity between us with Bujeria, La Bodega, like,
oh yeah,
there's just, we need something, and it's like, and we're the same way, and I think looking out for each other, it says a lot, and then that, I think for me personally, that helps even the beer community grow.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Then you're known for that, because then it'd be like, oh, like if I go and ask if I'm a Brujeria, they're like, oh, you guys should go check out Angry Horse. They also have great beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I love seeing that, because I think that's just so awesome that people could do that for each other.
Oh, yeah. John did it when with you guys, and he talked about Brujeria when I had John on the show in early October. The nicest guy. Like we didn't, but he talked about, he's like, yeah, it was like, he talked about Angry Horse. He talked about La Bodega. He talked about Brujeria, and talked about all you guys, like how you guys are like your own family going down Whittier Boulevard, essentially. And like, how cool is that? Like you get to, you get that, you know, you have that community, and you all have each other's backs.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to be like, oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
That group is a fun group. And last year we did this, Route 72 collaboration where each of us brewed a Route 72 beer.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
We're still planning on doing it this year. We're going to do it slightly different. But I think La Bodega is taking the lead in organizing it, where John did last year. And I think we're just going to rotate that around our group. It's kind of fun.
That's awesome. And speaking of Reds, like, you know, mentioned earlier, Danny, that there's like, I don't know, like a stigma around Reds. But because you hardly ever see them on anybody's menu anymore. I mean, but I remember like the first Red I had was like Killian's Irish Red, way back when I was a kid. But I mean, I love Reds. When Red Trolley came out, I was like, what is this? Like, that was another one. I liked the Stone IPA, but when I tried that Red Trolley, I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, it kind of like a light bulb went off in my head. I was like, oh, dang, there's other places you can go. But still, back then, it was like craft beer was still in like it's like infancy, probably. And like trying to find those places wasn't always easy.
I just think to me, it's like, you can't call yourself a true beer drinker if you've never had a Red.
And there
I'm
you
like,
go.
So I'm just like, so you like it. But when I ask people, it's like, oh, why do you like this style? And they, if you don't know why you like it, then you don't know why you're drinking.
Yeah.
And so to me, I'm not going to attack you.
Yeah.
You know, this is a reason why I'm not a beer tender anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, nope, she can't work. No, get her off of me. No, but I'm like, I just think it's so funny how everybody's like, just to see the development throughout the years with beer styles, all the hype beers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember when milkshake IPAs were a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I just couldn't wrap my head around when that started happening. To this day, I'm still not a fan of milkshake IPAs.
Yeah.
I'm not hating on anybody that likes them. It's just, I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm also lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't enjoy one without feeling like I'm going to die later. Yeah. So,
yeah. I gotcha.
Well, the evolution of the milkshake as well, from where it started when milkshakes first started coming out to now, I feel like milkshake, you could get anything from a traditional milkshake IPA to a slushy style milkshake. Mm-hmm. With, you know, 60%
fruit.
It's
a pretty wild wide category right at the
moment. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. But there's always those fads, though. It's like, well, I mean, I love hazies, don't get me wrong, but give me something crispy and clear and delicious. And this, by the way, this is, I forgot the name of it. I don't know.
The Caballo Negrito.
There you go.
Caballo Negrito.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can kind of say stuff sometimes, but, you know. No, this is delicious, though. But what I was saying, like, you have, like, reds that, you know, can kind of, you'll see them on some menus, but, or, like, those milkshakes or the slushies, like you mentioned. Or, like, you know, hazies. Love hazies, but don't get me wrong, like, I'd rather, like, I feel like there was that big time, like everybody had to have a hazy, or you had to have two or three different hazies on the menu. But I loved how you're kind of almost seeing a resurgence, even though they never really went away. But like pilsners, you're seeing those, you're seeing a lot more of them now. And that's the thing about a pilsner that I love. You can't fake it. Like you can really mess it up, but you can also make it, you know, if it's done really well, it's like, that's why, that's usually my first go-to is a pilsner. Because if that's good, probably everything else you're brewing is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think to me it's always interesting to see, because a lot of people will ask, especially people that are still learning about beer.
Yeah,
and they say, why is lagers like and pilsners such a hard beer?
Yeah,
and it's like it's because you can't hide.
Yeah, you can't hide anything
from it. Like those beers, if you know, when you see those double, triple milkshake IPA that has all this kind of fruit and whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, like there might be some issues there, but you won't know.
Yeah,
but with a lager, you know, it's only one type of grain, one type of yeast, one type of hops, 100%. And depending on the water that you incorporate, depending on the anatomy of your filters or whatever you might be using, RO or whatnot.
Yeah.
And that will depend on how crisp that beer is going to come out. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, like, if you have, I mean, there's some people that have the luxury to have lager tanks, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And some people don't, but it's like the longer you let that beer sit, the better for the beer, you know, and a lot of people, and I think I mentioned in the last time that, you know, it's an American thing of beers to sit more than 2 weeks. Like once it's 2 weeks, it's not really mandatory.
Yeah.
If you go anywhere, you know, if you go to Germany or whatever, there's beers that it could be any style is sitting there longer than 2 weeks. And it could sit there for 2 months. It could be a red and it could be sitting for 2 months longer.
Yeah.
So it isn't, what I remember talking to, Alex from Three Weavers is like, oh, you know, those beers can sit forever.
I mean,
not literally, but, you know, it's just like, you know, they, and if it's not a lager and people think, oh, lager, it's only lagers can sit that long. And I'm like, no, I'm like, you can sit longer. It just depends. But, you know, we're in the America. We want it now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Next thing I wanted to ask you guys was a Tales from the Tap Room, because if you've been here for 8 years, if you've had any funny stories or, you know, kind of interesting stories in the tap room. But before I did that, I did want to mention, I did see your costume, when you, were you dressed as Napoleon?
Oh yeah.
For
yeah,
Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, the Napoleon Dynamite vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
The what, I'm sorry?
I said that was pretty funny.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It just sometimes I get like popped ideas. That's what I love about working with Nathan and Justin, although they just like, I don't know how you say it in English. It's like, me siguen la corriente. They just go with it.
Okay.
You know, that I have a crazy idea and I'm like, all right, let's try it.
Run with it,
You know, because let's
it's filming.
Just see what, okay, because it's like, I get all these ideas and I'm like, how can I incorporate that? You know, how can I still relate? You know, because it's, I always feel like, you know, I'm a big following on social media. I'm always trying to get ideas of, you know, entertainment wise. And I'm like, what can we do that's different?
Yeah.
You know, because if it's too like formal, I think it's too boring.
Yeah.
You know, because that's not how you're going to attract, you know, people. It's like, that's the great thing about being in the industry that you're in. You don't have to be too serious and you can't play with it.
Yeah.
You know, people love that. People love, I also see, oh my God, I saw the Napoleon Dynamite. Dude, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, and so, you know, we're working on for the s'mores beer, hopefully mimic a little bit of the Sandlot when they're like asking him if he wants a s'more and he's like,
s'more what? That's awesome.
And so I just think
that's got to be the name though now, right?
Yeah, our generation is going to love it because they're going to, I mean, who doesn't love the Sandlot?
Oh, it's, you know, the best.
So
yeah.
I just think something like that is always funny, but I always love that they go with it. I like to bounce ideas and, you know, get everybody involved.
Collaboration.
You know?
I mean, that's like, you know, that's, you know, talking about it being family, that's the best.
Yeah, get excited.
Yeah.
You know,
every time my family has a gathering, or, and if it's like themed, I don't care what it is. I'll find something on Amazon. I'll throw it together and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, definitely. I love that.
Yeah. but do you have any funny stories, Nathan, from the...
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of funny stories.
Oh, it could be just interesting, too. It could be anything.
I mean, there are, I guess, a couple interesting stories. I guess one that's a little bit funny is, just when we first opened, an anecdote I always like to share is... Yeah, we have this unique name and this Burning Barn as our logo.
Yeah.
And some of our first customers came in not knowing that, we're the owners, we start up the business, and were telling us the whole story about why the barn is burning and the angry horse and this barn they burnt down over on Bluff. And, we hear this whole story about why we created the logo and why the horse was upset and everybody thought the horse burnt down the barn, where had nothing to do why we had the logo, but we love the story. It's
of course
it's a great conversation starter. So that's always a funny anecdote I like. But I guess other funny stories, we do have some horse farms right over here on Bluff, just down the road.
And
Angry Horse, every once in a while, we'll have the horses pull up and they'll tie up the reins, come and get a beer, and then
That's awesome.
Which in the middle of LA, we're 15 minutes from downtown LA, to have horses in front of your brewery, I just think is fun.
That's pretty damn cool. Yeah. I love that. I'll tell you a story off air about my grandpa riding a horse down Whittier Boulevard, but I don't want to say it on the but it's pretty funny. How about you, Danny? You got any funny stories so far? I mean, other than the Napoleon one?
No, I just think to me, just like learning during like the stuff that can happen while we're working.
Yeah.
And it's just like one thing that I like to do, even though like I think Justin was, we were doing the purple AF, which we use hibiscus.
Yeah.
And there was pressure in the container and he opened, I don't know what happened. And then it just erupted on the ceiling. And then he didn't know. He didn't tell me anything. And then until Nathan told me, and then I saw him, like, we were doing something here at work, and then I was like, hey, the ceiling is purple.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's up with that? And then he saw, like, blushing, and then he's telling me, and I'm just like, I told him, look, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just as long as, let somebody know and stuff like that. And it's no secret, but... sometimes there's no cameras in the production area, and I feel like if we do, like it would be hilarious because half of the stuff that happens, I don't know how many times, like sometimes if I open too quick to get a sample, explodes in my face.
Yeah.
And I was just like, great, like beer showers and putting pressure. Like I get frustrated when I'm trying to like do the dump on the bottom of the cone.
Yeah.
And then I'm really like, I find ways to like unclog it. And it just, I know it always ends up bad, where like, it looks like, I just had an accident. So I was just like, that's never fun. And he's like, I just embrace it. And I don't have to go to the store, whatever. I never learn. I never bring extra clothes.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that gets dirty. Justin is working just as hard and he looks like more together. And I'm like, why is it that I look like a 2-year-old that like was just eating with my hands? And I'm like, so... but it's always fun to see. It's always exciting, and that's what I think I love about what I do.
That's awesome though, because you get to you get to laugh at yourself. Because if you can't laugh at yourself, like come on, if you can't, you're not having fun with what you're doing, then what's the point in doing it?
Yeah, mistakes are going to be made, and I think that's why to me, like it's kind of like I don't have kids, but I always feel like if you are a certain way with little kids when they make mistakes, you want to approach them in a way where they could come to you and still ask you for help, even though they make a mistake.
Oh,
and
for
I think that's wherever I go. And if I have a team, even though they made a mistake, it might be bad or big, but we'll learn from it. And then we could approach it differently. And then that way there's no hidden secrets of what happened, and we could have prevented it instead of being, kind of like speak up about the situation. So I think we're really good at doing that here.
That's good.
So I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You need to have that openness with one another. Cause if you're not comfortable going to, your coworker or someone that you're more or less your family, then what are you doing?
Yeah. It's just not a dictation, And Nathan's not coming in here with a whip or,
Indiana Jones.
Spraying us with a hose. Yeah. You did it wrong.
Yeah.
It's just a squirt bottle.
There you go.
I know, right? That'd be hilarious.
Hey,
Go get an old like 90s super soaker. Yeah. And there you go.
It's like, wake up, you know. Now, if anything, I'll just punish you by playing maybe, I don't know, Hillary Duff music, you know, nonstop.
Which
one?
Which song?
It's like all day. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Which song, though? Which one would you put on?
Just like her. Like
So Yesterday or something?
Yeah,
like that?
So Yesterday. And then on top of that, I can't sing, so then I would probably say it as like.
Well, now we kind of need to hear you sing.
Oh, no, you do not. Just kidding. Like,
karaoke's.
Nice, there it is.
I know, karaoke.
What is your, do you guys have karaoke songs? Like, would it be Hillary Duff if you had to do it?
I mean, it just depends on, like, in that moment what I'm, like, in the mood for.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would definitely bring all that pop, like, Mandy nice. Moore. And okay. You name it. All that stuff, the Veronicas. I mean, everybody, some of you will know.
Yeah.
I know the majority is like males, but it's like, you're like, oh, that's crappy music. But I'm, you know, if I put Britney Spears, I know you guys would be all your little hearts out.
Oh, we went down to Lossman's down in San Clemente a couple weeks ago. On the way back, like Backstreet Boys came on, and I was like, whatever, man, I'm going to sing it. So
it's my jam.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't know those songs?
Yeah.
I think how about you, Nathan? To that is Justin and I singing every time you put on songs like that. We'll inevitably be singing in the brew house.
Yeah, there you go.
To a Britney Spears song.
Oh, yeah. He likes Mike Jones.
Oh, so what would be your karaoke song?
Oh, it depends on how I'm feeling. I mean, I like to sing almost anything, and people pay me not to when I sing karaoke.
There you go. It happens to the best of us.
That's usually how it goes, is we'll pay you to stop, please.
Yeah. I'm currently trying to learn how to like sing the song Rock Me Amadeus.
Oh,
because nice. I really want to bring my mic and just get really like into it.
I think you need to
sing
do
my
that.
Heart out.
I think you got to do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna rap like,
and there needs to be video so I can, you know,
yeah,
I can post that on the reel.
One hit wonder.
There you go.
I think the fun thing is roulette karaoke, where you don't get to pick your song, it's picked for you.
Oh, okay,
you just get it right as you walk up.
Oh, yeah, dang. That's
the jam.
Yeah, and the ones that say they don't like karaoke, they're lying, because after two beers, they'll be
they'll
like dominate the stage, and it's like one song after another.
It's like
another,
there's other people that want to go up there.
Yeah.
Now, mine were pulled. Two, I love, obviously, Living on a Prayer is like a go-to, but Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult is probably one of my favorites. And it's like such a random song, too, but I love that. So I love to sing karaoke with that song.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. You got to hit like the day. I mean, I can't sing to save my life, and my voice changes throughout the days. Like in the mornings, it's really raspy, and then it kind of calms down as the day goes on. I don't know why, but
at least yours is throughout the day. Mine is throughout the song.
Oh, there you go.
I like to, like, when I was at Last Name, the guys probably hated us, like, because me and Hannah would be playing the most corniest pop music ever.
Yeah,
like, you know. And the other guys were just like, and it's like first come, first serve. So whoever gets there first gets to put their playlist first.
Okay.
And before it used to be seniority, but not anymore.
Yeah.
So I would be one of the first people, and I would be blasting like certain music that they would hate. And one of the guys thought that I really liked death metal.
Yeah.
And I was just like being sarcastic. You were just throwing it on. So he played it, and I was just like, dude, no.
That's fine.
But yeah, it was always that's what I love about the work environment, because if you work in an office, like you could put on your AirPods or whatever and listen, but what I love about here, it's like I could be blasting my music, motivates me and whatnot, and you know, if Nathan can see her first, he'll play his music. Like, it just depends, you know. And I don't complain, like I don't really care.
Yeah,
you know, he hasn't played anything where I'm just like, oh, what? This again.
I didn't realize that was a thing. Like, the first person who comes in, I just always put on music when I get here.
So yeah,
please feel free to
he's like, oh, is that how it's gonna be?
I turn on music, and I just assume people will change it when they're ready for something else. So
okay,
as long as you don't play Green Day, as long as you don't play, like, there's some music that I just can't stand anymore. Like, it's just been a replay, but I'm not really.
What about
like
old Green Day though?
Like
first
Green
album,
Day.
Was it Dookie? Was that the first album?
Yeah, there's like the songs that got to be played on the radio too much.
Oh yeah,
those are the songs that I can't stand.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm just like, it just depends. Like he said, mood that you're
yeah,
in.
Yeah, except for like Britney Spears and stuff like that.
Yeah, like I was like last night I was blasting this music, I'm gonna play it. It's like so.
Just gonna put Carly Rae Jepsen on repeat.
There you go. I mean, we all have our playlists. We all have our stuff that kind of get us, like, you know, going and stuff like that, or get us in the mood to start your day or whatever, you know, so. And we're back. Now, well, so Nathan had to leave. Had to go attend to the 2-year-old.
Yeah. Kids.
Yeah, kids will get you.
Love them.
Yeah. Yeah, love them. Don't have them.
Oh, man. Yeah, I have dogs, so.
Yeah.
That's more than enough for me.
Yeah. So everything's been good since you, obviously, we talked about, like, since you come over. I'm really happy for you, though.
Yeah. Thank you. I think it's just a crazy change. A lot of people still... Some people still think I'm a last name. Some people still think I'm a Carnation. Some people are barely finding out that I'm here.
Yeah.
I know if people can't keep up with where I'm going.
That's awesome.
I'm not planning to go anywhere. So,
yeah.
Okay. I'm like,
staying with Angry Horse.
Yeah. I'll be here for a while, guys. And so, people are like, well, we want to visit you, but we don't know where you go.
Yeah. And it seems like you're really happy here, though. So,
yeah. It's been a good transition for me. So, It's more chill, less stress, and I could really just focus on the craft.
Yeah.
When you're all over the place, it's kind of hard to enjoy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm. No, but like I said, I'm just really happy that seems like everything's going well for you, because, I mean, it was really fun that we got to do it over at Congregation, but I'm really glad that things are going well for you.
No, thank you. I'm excited for what the future holds. I'm slowly introducing, my skills and what I could, incorporate and bring to the table here. So I'm excited for that. And I'm also excited for more recipe development and, the beer that you had, the s'mores beer. I think we're calling it Stout's Honor.
Okay.
And so I'm really excited. We just met with the person that's going to be developing the label, and I'm just being able to partake now where I'm at, and it's in a whole different way.
Yeah.
So I, my opinion on certain things is pretty awesome to see that I could, if I have an idea, I can be part of that idea.
Yeah, like it holds weight.
Yeah. And that's how keeps me motivated, and excited.
Yeah.
And I come to work knowing that, I'm contributing, in what I'm doing, and there's benefit behind it.
Yeah. Of course.
So it gets me more excited. And, also the person that I get to work with, also they see that. And I always try to get everybody involved, because that's how people get excited also.
100%.
So that's technically where I'm at, even though, I'm going to be barely 3 months.
Yeah.
Here, so it's just going to see, if I'm already doing this, I'm excited what, the next few months is going to look like.
And that's all you can to just keep, pushing forward and keep doing what you're doing. Clearly, things are going really well because the beer is really good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just excited for the beers. I'm so excited to send the beers. We're not having them on tap yet, but once we have them,
I'm just
excited. And I tell people, just the red is the one beer that I'm so excited about. So I tell people, I love reds, and you love reds too. Yeah, definitely. Come on down.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you before we finish up, because I know where you guys are getting close to opening. But do you like Game of Thrones?
The what?
Game of Thrones.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you never seen? Okay. Yeah. So the only reason I was going to ask, because obviously your name's Danny, but there's Jon Snow. He always says, I always wondered if your husband, if he ever said Danny, because that was Jon Snow. So that's how he says it in, in the show. So I just had to be stupid and ask.
Yeah. No, you totally. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, I'm like, I never seen it. I love dragons though.
There you go.
It was a start.
Nice. Well, I mean, honestly, I'm really thankful. I'm glad we got to sit down again, have a conversation, have a couple beers. So
that's... Yeah, me too. I'm glad that you came down and see where I'm at and all the chaos that I will count in a good way.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful chaos.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That's exactly how I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Danny. Well, should we have another beer?
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely going to try the ones that are in the tanks right now. So
I'm down. Let's do it. All right, guys. Well, thank you, Danny, again for being on. And thank you to Nathan. He had to take off, but this show will be out soon. And I hope everybody has a good week.
All right.
Thanks, Danny.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Like I said, it was a fun one, especially, with Danny and Nathan. They're super nice people, and those are the kind of people you want to support. I mean, you want to go down there and hang out. And the cool thing is, there is their whole family. There's essentially a family of breweries, along Whittier Boulevard from Montebello all the way to Whittier. So you have La Bodega, There's Angry Horse, Brujeria in Pico, and then Whittier Brewing with John Kennedy over there. Such a nice guy. Everybody's, you know, been super open. I'm going to have to get La Bodega and just get the, you know, get the four of them. I was going to say the hat trick, but the hat trick would be three. But yeah, they're all definitely great people. So definitely go out and support. They have great beers. Yeah, so I mean, New Year's is, what are you guys doing for New Year's? Yes.
Sitting right here.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
Knocking back a few.
Yeah. Probably be, more than 12, I would say.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. I'll probably have a beer or two, but I've been craving some Templeton, so I'm probably going to have some, like, a couple glasses of whiskey. Well, I say a couple of glasses. It'll probably be like the bottle.
Yeah.
More than likely. But I did get some Drinking Buddy. So shout out to Drinking Buddy. I'll have that. It's at my house. It got delivered yesterday. So hopefully I'm not too hungover so I can be good to go to watch the games.
And our first order of Drinking Buddy is going to be made shortly. So
nice. Dude, shit works.
Yeah.
Shit works like crazy. Even when I think it was Shelby's birthday. Nav got so shit-faced. And he hadn't drank that much in a while, and he got super shit faced, and he took those, and he's like, dude, it actually works. I was like, dude, yeah, freaking shout out to Drinking Buddy, shit works.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I mean, be safe. You know, obviously, enjoy your time, have some brewskis, but just be safe. Don't be drinking and driving. Don't do anything stupid. But all right, I'm gonna end it with a movie quote from a favorite movie of Josh and I. From Strange Brew with Bob and Doug McKenzie, Rick Moranis, and Dave Thomas. There you go. Yeah, Dave Thomas.
The Wendy's guy. That's how I keep
it. Yeah. But the quote is, I'm your father, Luke. Give into the dark side of the force, you knob. He saw Jedi 17 times, eh? Take care, Tat Fam. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Stay tuned next week.